This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and this is GG Well Played, BFM's video game show. Ahead of the ESL One tournament happening this weekend here in Kuala Lumpur, we'll be speaking to Caitlin Kang, Senior Director of Business Operations at ESL Asia Pacific Japan, to learn more about how they're managing one of the world's premier esports tournaments. But before that, let's recap some of the biggest news in the industry. Of course, you cannot run away from talking about the Game Awards, which wrapped up last Friday. It was a night packed with jaw-dropping announcements, but let's talk about the award winners first. The biggest winner this year is Larian Studios' Baldur's Gate 3, bringing home a total of 6 awards, including the coveted Game of the Year. Now, that category is filled with strong contenders as well, which makes Baldur's Gate 3's win even more impressive. But let's be honest, most of us see that one coming, right? And the week 2 followed with 3 wins in Best Game Direction, Best Narrative, and Best Art Direction. Not to forget Remedy Entertainment's Creative Director, Sam Lake, who went on stage with All Gods of Asgard performing one of the songs in Alan Wake 2 Herald of Darkness. The other winners of the awards are Final Fantasy 16 with the Best Score Music, while Hi-Fi Rush rocked with the Best Audio Design Award. Chia won Hearts with Games for Impact Award, while Sea of Stars shone as the Best Indie Game. And speaking of indies, Cocoon made a smashing debut and claimed the Best Debut Indie Game title. Nintendo's The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom won Best Action Adventure Game, while Street Fighter 6 threw the Best Punches as the Best Fighting Game. And HBO's adaptation of The Last of Us, of course, bringing home the Best Adaptation Award. Congratulations to all the winners and the amazing year in gaming. Moving on, the Game Awards always brings big news in the gaming world, and this year was no exception. First up, God of War Ragnarok is getting a free DLC expansion called Valhalla, blending elements of the roguelike genre with the epic combat of God of War. It's set to drop tomorrow on the 12th of December 2023. Arkane Studios, the masterminds behind Dishonored and Deathloop, shook things up by teaming up with Marvel for a mature single-player third-person adventure featuring Blade in the heart of Paris. Square Enix didn't hold back either, announcing 2 expansions for Final Fantasy 16 Echoes of the Fallen, already available since the awards show, and The Rising Tide, set for release next year. Then there's Hideo Kojima's Xbox project, Overdose, a collaboration with Jordan Peele featuring talents like Sophia Lillis, Hunter Schafer, and Udo Kier. But Sega stole the spotlight by dropping a bombshell. 5 new games in development, including Jet Set Radio, Shinobi, Golden Axe, Streets of Rage, Crazy Taxi, and more. Longtime Sega fans are definitely in for a treat, although no further details were revealed. And finally, the cherry on top, Capcom's Monster Hunter Wilds, poised to kick off the 6th generation of the Monster Hunter series upon its 2025 release on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. The gaming world is abuzz with these announcements, promising exciting times ahead for gamers of all stripes. And last but certainly not least, Rockstar Games released the Grand Theft Auto 6 reveal trailer last week, showing us a glimpse of Vice City and the state of Leonida, the in-game universe's version of Miami and Florida. The said trailer also parodies several clips that have appeared around social media, but one man, known as Florida Joker for his viral mugshots, believe his likeness was used by Rockstar Games. He claims that the person in the trailer looked like him, with purple hair and face tattoo, insisting it was crystal clear that he inspired the design and demanded $2 million from Rockstar for it. However, chances are slim to none that he'll see a dime from Rockstar, because the studio could easily argue that the in-game character is just a parody. This isn't Rockstar's game's first time in the hot seat, obviously. When GTA 5 was initially released, actor Lindsay Lohan attempted to sue the company over claims that they used her likeness for a minor character in the game. Her claims were thrown out in 2018 as a New York court said the character was just a generic young woman. As of now, the Florida Joker hasn't taken legal action just yet, and we doubt Rockstar would even entertain his demands. However, his complaints may not be the last likeness-related controversies coming for Grand Theft Auto 6, since its first trailer depicts a Vice City that's just as chaotic as its real-world counterpart. That's all that we have for the news this week. Back to our main segment. ESL One Kuala Lumpur 2023 officially starts today behind closed doors for the group stages ahead of its main playoff event this weekend. Some of the world's best teams are currently here to duke it out over Dota 2, including Gaimin Gladiators or GG and Team Liquid. My colleague Daryl Ong got a chance to speak to Caitlin Kang, Senior Director of Business Operations at ESL Asia Pacific Japan, a few weeks back to learn more about the growth of the organization and how they're preparing for this upcoming tournament. Here's the interview.
All right. So on the line with me, I've Caitlin Khan from ESL. Welcome to the show, Caitlin.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Maybe just as a short introduction, you know, can you give us a brief overview of your background and experience, especially in the esports industry?
Yeah, of course. Currently, I'm the Senior Director of Business Operations at ESL Asia Pacific Japan. I got into gaming in university playing World of Warcraft my boyfriend and some online friends at the time. I enjoyed gaming so much, I thought, not try to turn it into a career, right?
Yeah.
So I started volunteering in the Australian grassroots esports scene with the company that would eventually become ESL Australia. And so just volunteered, did a bit of coolie work, had a lot of fun. Eventually, I came back to Malaysia, but stayed in touch with the team over there. And when they decided to expand into Asia, they brought me on in early 2019 to help grow the Asian operation team. And here we are.
Great. Your passion has become your job right now.
Yeah, basically. It's a dream.
Straight in, Caitlin, you know, coming out of COVID-19, it's been a good 3 years now. Interest in games and esports took off during the pandemic. But at the same time, the absence of physical events means a loss of revenue, especially for a company like ESL, who specialize in making live events, right? How has operations been affected? And is the pinch of non-activity of global events still felt today?
So generally, the digital nature of our business, it helped us to adapt very quickly to the increased demand for online content. We were very quickly able to adapt and pivot to meet that demand. We're all very happy to have live events back, though. We had a bit of a rebound after COVID, where people were very keen to get back to live events. And it really showed in our ticket sales for our first event post-COVID in Malaysia, ESL One Malaysia, which we held up in Genting. We sold out of our premium tickets so quickly, within half an hour, I think it was. And for ESL One Kuala Lumpur this year, we're very much on trend to hit pre-COVID attendance as well.
Great to hear.
Yeah, it's been really great. And elsewhere in Australia, we have stadiums selling out within 1 week for game titles like CS, for Intel Extreme Masters in Sydney, Counter-Strike. So yeah, the trends globally are quite positive.
Yeah, people are coming back. Speaking of ESL One Malaysia or ESL One KL, the previous few editions was held in Genting. I was there for one edition a couple of years back. Why the move to the city centre this time around?
First of all, I have to say we loved being at Genting. They're wonderful partners to work with. We sold out three successful ESL Ones with them. For the fourth time coming back to Malaysia, we wanted to push our limits. We wanted to reach more fans and be more accessible. So we decided to host it at MyTech. And we've had a great response so far. We've released more premium and plus tickets than ever before, but we still sold out very quickly. So yeah, sounds like it's paying off.
For sure. Can you just walk us a little bit through the process of planning and executing a major esports event like ESL One? And you know, what are the key considerations, and does it differ when it comes to different regions?
Yeah, absolutely. So something that is similar across all regions are things like the city, the venue, the dates. Those are always the big ones for us. Esports calendars, they are often very busy globally, so it can be challenging to find the right timing and the right game because the calendars are quite saturated. So venues, another one of our challenges, they're a little bit more difficult for esports because you need to build an esports stage in a venue that's not typically designed to be used for esports. So we have to get creative, and internet connectivity is always a big thing for us, right? Where milliseconds of delay is the difference between being able to play or not.
Definitely one of the big considerations, the internet. But in terms of, you know, how you choose your game titles across different regions, like I understand in Australia, CS is a popular game. Malaysia, maybe Dota is the thing. Do you separate your game choices based on the different regions?
Oh, absolutely. To put on a great show, we need an equally hyped audience. Yeah. So we focus on cities where we can attract the best crowds.
Speaking of, you know, online viewership and online interest in your tournaments, how do you ensure a seamless and engaging experience for both sides? You know, because, you know, people, majority of people aren't at the event.
That's true. We have so many viewers online, more than we have in the arena. And our priority is always the fan experience, whether it's online or offline. from whether it's the viewing angles, the sound, the screen sizes, the content. Over the years, we've honed the top tier online and offline fan experience over multiple iterations of ESL One all across the globe. So, for example, last year we enhanced the local experience by creating Dota 2 characters in the Wayang Kulit style, which showed up on our stage and venue cameras. So, you know, a bit of Easter eggs that we try to put in there. And we try to adapt to current trends. So even with our merchandise, like we've got some custom ESL One keycaps, pins, you know, lots of things that Dota 2 fans can buy.
Great stuff. Scoping in on the tournament that's coming up and on Dota 2, Valve recently announced the cancellation of the DPC, the Dota Pro Circuit, that's been around since 2017, an integral part of TI qualifications, which is, I guess, the yearly World Cup for Dota. In light of this, ESL Pro Tour, the EPC, has been touted to be the premier third-party flag bearer for the survival of the game and the whole ecosystem that comes with it. First of all, did ESL see this news coming, and what were the initial reactions?
So we trust in Valve's approach for what is best for the ecosystem. The DPC has played an important role in making the path to the international more clear and transparent. And we're happy to have been a big part of that chapter in Dota 2 esports history. With the competitive calendar now opening up, we look forward to be able to continue organizing innovative and entertaining Dota 2 events as part of the ESL Pro Tour.
Yeah, I think a lot of netizens especially are looking to ESL tournaments now as the majors, as the tournament highlights of the season. Are you guys looking to be that kind of like that constant, that almost monopoly when it comes to events?
We don't think about it like that. We strongly believe that competition is essential in order to have a healthy ecosystem. Mm. We see our current position as a reflection of our long-term commitment to deliver high-quality experiences at both, you know, online and offline. And we'll always keep striving to be the best we can be.
Mm. Apart from Dota, ESL also, like you mentioned before, it helms offline and offline leagues for tournaments and tournaments all over the world for different titles. Profitability aside, what are some of the main challenges faced when organizing large-scale esports events like this?
So as I said before, venues are a big one for us, because a lot of spaces aren't esports ready. So it's always a challenge for us to turn those spaces into esports venues. For example, you know, as just now I said the stage, but hotels, they aren't designed for us to put five players in a hotel room in a suite to practice, right? Mm. To set up as a player practice room. So we have to get creative. We discuss with the hotel, you know, they help us take out the furniture, and then we set up in there and get the internet going. Typical events don't have the same internet requirements as we do. So it's something that we always have to find solutions for.
You have players coming from all over the globe for these tournaments. And we've heard of, you know, pockets of problems of visa issues, for example. Is that something that plays in the back of your mind as well?
Yeah, definitely. Visa is a big one because gaming has opened up the world so much where, you know, we think of it as the term global citizen, right? But it's still a very real thing for each country. So we have a mobility team that takes care of our crew and our staff. And we're very on top of player visas. We prepare them well in advance. Mm. In fact, I've just signed some letters to invite some Chinese players over to Malaysia for the event.
Mm. Yeah, all these things need to be taken care of. Speaking a bit about ESL's rise, you know, in 2022, there was a merger with FaZe-It. Previously, you guys were each other's biggest competitors. Now you guys have joined forces to set up the ESL FaZe-It group. How has this move reflected how the esports sector, especially in our region, has developed throughout the years?
Yeah, it was a huge merger, $1.5 billion merger. And it's clear now that gaming and esports, it's truly a global industry. When it comes to the commercial side of things, esports is now in the ballpark of traditional sports with viewership numbers. We're being compared to some of the most watched sports in the world, with multiple ESL FaZe-It Group events over the last 12 months hitting over 1 million concurrent viewers. Mm. For example, we had our Snapdragon Pro Series Mobile Legends event in Jakarta, and we had Intel Extreme Masters Rio, all these hitting similar numbers to traditional sports.
Fan engagement definitely is priority when it comes to, you know, keeping both offline and online crowds in tune. How does ESL plan to sustain interest in what's already a saturated market?
So we have this phrase, we create worlds beyond gameplay. And we really try to embody that in all that we do. Gone are the days of the stereotypical gamer. Now, more than ever, it's prevalent in our lives in some shape or form. In fact, our DreamHack brand, it's actually a gaming lifestyle festival where the community can join LAN parties, experience top-tier and grassroots esports, see the best cosplayers, meet content creators, enjoy music, or experience the latest games at our expo. So through our products, we don't just cater towards hardcore gamers and esports fans. We aspire to create a more holistic lifestyle experience that everyone can appreciate.
Life beyond games. In a rapidly evolving industry, how do you, especially at events, strike a balance between maintaining traditional aspects of esports and incorporating new and innovative elements?
So it's a good sign that we now have traditional aspects of esports events.
It's come to that stage.
Because, you know, yeah, exactly. 10 plus years ago, esports events in large arenas, they weren't a thing.
Yep.
So for us, esports is an always evolving, innovative industry. And by having passionate people working for us who know the ins and outs of any esports that we create, that helps us to stay ahead of the curve.
Are there any certain elements or traditions in esports that you think should always be preserved?
So because of the rapidly evolving pace of the esports world, it's a bit of a joke for us that an esports year passes by more quickly than a calendar year. So the landscape just keeps shifting and we always have to be ready to innovate and adapt, whether it's a new trend, it's a new way of doing things. One of our key values is be bold. And those are the mantras that keep us striving and innovating. And that, I think, helps us to keep our fans engaged.
Just now, Caitlin, you were talking about the events beyond gaming, right? The gaming festivals, if you will. I know ESL is, of course, focused on games, but over the years has been somewhat of a lifestyle brand through collaborations with clothing brands, as one example. Bring us behind this move, you know, and how does decisions like this help esports to be viewed as more inclusive?
So one of the examples is our collaboration with Champion to launch a Counter-Strike range focused on clothing.
Yeah.
And it debuted at ESL One Cologne. This was received extremely well by our fans. I think the first generation of esports fans, they're growing up now. They have a bit more disposable income. They aren't afraid to showcase esports as part of their lifestyle and, you know, with their children or with their younger family members. It's not so much of a stigma anymore compared to before.
Any chance of ESL collaborating with a Malaysian brand, for example? Is that in the horizon?
Well, we definitely aren't closed to any opportunities. We will explore them and channel them upwards to our global shop team.
All right. Speaking of the Southeast Asian region, Kathleen, how has the region's rapid shift to mobile gaming? I know you mentioned Mobile Legends just now. How has this shifted the company's perspective on how they look at Southeast Asia in particular?
So yeah, mobile esports is massive in Southeast Asia, and we've tried to embrace mobile gaming globally. There was a big push 2 years ago to create product for mobile games. And our flagship mobile product, the Snapdragon Pro Series, powered by Samsung Galaxy, it's been pushing the boundaries of third-party tournaments in mobile esports. And it's a global scale tournament, right? So the event I mentioned earlier, Snapdragon Pro Series Mobile Legends in Jakarta, it rivals some of the biggest PC esports events that ESL Face It Group puts on globally. From a viewership and social perspective.
Scoping out to North America and even Europe, mobile gaming isn't taking off like how it is in our region, right? What would you attribute this to?
We look at it a bit differently. Asia is just booming in terms of mobile esports, right? They had their PC phase and then we have our mobile phase. It's still popular over there and we anticipate it will grow. That's why we created a mobile product, a global mobile product. And soon at DreamHack Atlanta, our Snapdragon Pro Series COD Mobile Finals will occur over there on a big stage.
Okay, that's cool. last few questions. ESL has a huge global audience. How does the company work to promote diversity and inclusion in its events, both in terms of participation and the broader community?
So we have our GG for All program. GG stands for Good Game, right? And that encompasses a range of initiatives designed to tackle diversity and inclusion, among other things. We believe in a world where everyone has the right to enjoy the games that they love, the right to play, to participate, and to progress. Mm. So one of our first GG for All initiatives is ESL Impact. It's a $500,000 Counter-Strike all-women circuit. It features two league seasons with live finals at DreamHack, a standalone event, online cash cups. And I have to say, as a woman in the gaming industry, it's personally very close to my heart that we are more inclusive. And I feel like that starts from within. Mm. So we do our best to create a supportive and accepting environment where women are able to contribute equally and have the same opportunities as others for career advancement.
Nice. Last question. ESL 1KL is happening mid-December. You have your work cut out for you last couple of weeks till you get there. But what can people expect when they go for the event?
So we are looking to bring back the tradition of the past few years of hosting this successful event, and we want to level it up. This year, we are connecting it with mysticism. It's a character called Oracle in Dota 2, and we'll try to bring it all together in a spectacle of a three-day epic tournament with a $1 million prize pool.
All right, great stuff. Thanks for speaking with us, Caitlin.
Thank you very much, Daryl.
You're tuned in to GG Well Played, and that was Daryl Ong speaking to Caitlin Kang, Senior Director of Business Operations at ESL Asia Pacific Japan, ahead of the ESL One tournament happening right here in Kuala Lumpur, with the main event taking place this weekend from the 15th to the 17th December at the Malaysia International Trade and Exhibition Centre. If you'd like to listen to this episode again, look for the podcast on bfm.my, our app available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also find this show on Spotify. Do share your thoughts and the games that you play via our email, ggwp@bfm.my. Don't forget to also follow the station on X at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharudin. Thanks for joining us. Game on, and please take care. This has been GG Well Played.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.